Well, it's been good to be in God's house. I've enjoyed what I felt today, even from the Sunday school hour through. It's been good to my heart. I don't know how it is down here, but back home we kind of run through some dry spells. And it's good to be in a service where God decides to move through. Amen. As I was sitting in the service a couple of Wednesday nights ago, so my dad was a preaching. God laid this on my heart. Amen. Told me to preach this. Didn't know where I was going to preach it. God said to preach it here. Amen. If you open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 6, the book of Daniel chapter 6, we're going to read through the whole chapter, set a basis for the sermon today. I believe it's important to understand what God says.
Yes, sir.
Book of Daniel chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible reads like this. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault for as much as he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled themselves together to the king and said unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. That wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went into his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces wherever they came at the bottom of the cave. Then King Darius wrote to all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask you, Lord, as I bow before you, God, to help me, Lord, as I try to preach the Word of God, what you've laid upon my heart, Lord. I can't do it within myself. Oh, but Lord, I need you deep down in my heart to stir for a little while and to touch me, Lord, as I preach. God, take the Word, Lord, and I pray, penetrate the hearts of saints and sinners. God, we need a reviving in this day. God, help me, Lord, I pray. Move upon me, dear God, and help us, Lord, as we are trying to obey you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to preach for a little while, God being my helper, on God's keeping the cats off. Amen. God's keeping the cats off. Before I get started in the message this morning, God's laid upon my heart to give these thanks to you. Some of the reasons that God kept the cats off Daniel. In verse 3, it was because of an excellent spirit. Bible reads this, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. If you look up that word excellent in the concordance, we got a good concordance and dictionary. Excellent means distinguishable for something commendable. I want to say that we ought to be distinguishable in this day in which we live. We ought to be distinguishable at work, distinguishable around the house, and if we go to Walmart, to have an excellent spirit in us that God would keep the cats off. And verse 4, it's because of faithfulness. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault for as much as he was faithful.
Right.
Neither was there any error or fault found in him. We ought to be faithful unto God. It dawned on me that they must have took Daniel on the 29th or 30th day of this decree, because the next day the king had established a new decree, and he couldn't do that unless the old one had expired. So I don't think that they were sitting around, and on the first day they might have been watching him, but they weren't going to take him because they knew he wasn't going to quit. And man, they had done that, prayed 3 times a day, and he was going to continue to do that, and they had enough faith in Daniel. They knew that he was going to stay with God.
Amen.
Number 3, the reason that God kept the cats off was because of belief. Verse 23 reads, then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know about you, but sometimes I have a hard time of believing God. Sometimes it seems like it's a long time in between times that God chooses to move, and I get kind of impatient. Amen. I don't want to believe Him, and I don't think He can do it. And I know He can, but I just don't believe He will. Amen. I'm there a whole lot. But if we believe God, God will keep the cats off. But here, as I read in verse 22, God's keeping the cats off to protect the innocent. My God has sent His angel and hath shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me,
right,
and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. I want to say God can keep the mouth of the lion off of you when you ain't done nothing wrong. Amen. I don't know. We've been in church ever since I've been there 9 months before I was born. My dad's pastored most of my life. And I'm telling you, we've had some people that wanted to chew us up. Amen. They wanted to gnaw on us. But God's chosen to keep the caps off us. He's been faithful and true unto His Word. Amen. He's helped us out when we didn't think there was going to be any help. When we thought it was the end of our church and my dad was about to give up hope. God kicked the caps off. Amen. Helped us out. And when we hadn't done nothing wrong, God will help His people. Here in verse 6 and 7, these men lied on Daniel. Verse 6 reads, then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute. I want to say that all of them did not. Amen. Daniel did not. He might have been the only one that didn't. But they tried to say, well, he's with us. It's a unanimous decision. Everybody's going this way. So we might as well just go ahead and make the decree because everybody's for it. We need not to be for it in this day and time. Amen. I have a hard time sometimes myself. Things get to going and I start excusing things. Amen. People get to go and work, and I worked on a construction crew. If you worked on a construction crew, I'll go ahead and tell you what you have. You have people with a dirty mouth, with unclean jokes, amen? And that's what I'm around all day long. And I find myself excusing it, not accepting it, but excusing it because I won't say anything about it, because I won't stand up for what's right. And I want to say it's right to stand up. God will help you if you want to. If you really want God to help you, God will keep the caps off of you. If you'll stand up at work, if you'll stand up wherever you're at. Here in the day, somebody gets a bad mouth in God. You decide that you've had enough of it. Go ahead and say a word for Jesus. Amen. Go ahead and tell Him. Tell Him that you're a Christian. Tell Him you're glad Jesus saves. And I'll go ahead and tell you they'll shut up because they don't want to hear it. Amen. God will keep the caps off of you. To judge the wicked. Amen. That's right.
Bless you, Lord.
God had a plan for these cats. These lions, as they threw Daniel in that den, they weren't meant for Daniel. Amen. God's keeping the cats off of you to judge the wicked. Don't say there'll be a judgment day. Amen. The book of Esther. Chapter 7, you don't have to turn if you don't want to, but I'll read a couple of verses here. The book of Esther, chapter 7, here Haman is trying to do in the people of God. He's wanting to wipe them out, and he's got a plan. Oh, Mordecai ain't bowing to it. He's decided to stand up against it. He wouldn't bow to it. Amen. Made Haman mad. So he decided, well, we'll just get rid of all these Christians. They ain't nothing but troublemakers anyway. So he devised a plan to get rid of them. Well, as he went, you know the story, as he went before the king and Esther there, and Esther made a petition unto the king, and it made the king angry. And here he is, king comes back into the chamber. And verse 9 says, and Harbona, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, behold, also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king, standeth in the house of Haman.
Right.
Then the king said, hang him thereon. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai.
Right.
Then was the king's wrath pacified. They decided, he was trying to do in the people of God. So he devised the gallows. He's going to hang on Mordecai. Said, we'll just take out the one person who's openly standing up against what I'm trying to do. They thought if they'd get on Mordecai, the rest of them would fold. And they might have. But here in the Bible, but God had a plan for Haman. Here he is as he built the gallows 50 cubits high. And the king hung him on there. Amen. My dad, when we used to go to church all the time, and people would be sitting there, and they'd always have something to say. Have something to say about the way my mama was dressed. You know, if you're a preacher's family, you can't have nothing new. And I tell you what, they always having something to say about the way we was dressed or what we had going on. And I always say, my dad, I'd always get aggravated. I'm kind of short-tempered. And I'd ask my dad, why don't you put a stop to that? And he said, son, you give them enough rope and they'll hang themselves. And I'll go ahead and say, we found that to be true down through the years. The ropes that they prepared for us, they've hung themselves on it, amen. God's going to protect His people. God's going to keep the cats off this morning. Amen. He's going to protect us and help us out when we can't help ourselves. Amen.
Thank God. Amen.
God's going to keep the cats off to proclaim His power.
Amen.
Here in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 25. Bible reads, then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. God's keeping the cats off to proclaim his power. Here as he used the king to do that, the Bible says that he wrote to all people, nations and languages, not just his kingdom, but all people. He's going to let everybody know how powerful God was. God kept the cats off of Daniel just so the king would be able to, so the world can know the king would write to these people. And the world would know how strong a God he is. How much God that he is. How big he is and what he can do. Amen. God's here to help us today. I feel like that in my life. There's been so many times where God's kept the cats off of me and I didn't understand why. But it turned out somebody got some help out of it. Somebody heard about it somewhere. And I go to a different church and they'd say, we heard what God done for you. And they got some help out of it. God's keeping the cats off just to proclaim his power. Amen. I want to say, hear the weight. The king here in verse 16, the Bible says, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. But here over in verse 20, the Bible says, and when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? I believe he meant that to be a question because he wasn't sure. That weight, the weight of the night, sometimes I get to that point where the weight will cause me to doubt. The weight. I tell you, there's a lot of times that God has a plan. I want it to be like fast food. You know, I pull up to the window and order it, and I get up there and he hands it to me. That ain't the way it is. But God has a plan. He has a time, a specific time for everything. But here in the Bible, as I had read this, it kind of got me that he used the verb is. See, when you're speaking of something that would have happened in the past, you use the verb was. Now, we got told, I was taught in school that you use was for a past tense verb, as a past tense verb. And you use is for present tense. I want to say that God is able, He's still able, amen, to deliver His people in this time. Glory to God. I'm glad He is able. I'm glad He was able, but that is also, it's used for present tense and it's also used for future tense. He's able to use that. So He is able and He will be able to help us. It's a promise from God in the Bible. We have lots of promises in the Bible that God has given unto us. And a lot of times I get caught up and are reading over the Scripture and I've missed the promises of God. He says He is able to deliver us. Amen. Is able. The present tense, future tense. He's always going to take care of me. Amen. I'm glad to be one of His children. Amen. He's going to take care of me. Amen. Also, God's keeping the cats off to prosper His children. Here in verse 28, the Bible reads, "So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian." Here is God had kept the cats off of Daniel. He set him up. He was already number one behind the king. God had used him and elevated him to that level. Number one, because He knew He wouldn't abuse the privilege. He's going to keep praying and it wouldn't get to His head. I know a lot of times that's the problem with the church. Somebody gets doing a little something, God gets to moving, and it goes to their head, and then they ain't worth nothing anymore. I've been there, and I know what it's like. I'll tell you about the time you think you can do it on your own. About the time you think that you about got this figured out, God will come and kick you down. Tell you, you can't do nothing without Him, amen. God's promised spiritual prosperity.
Yes, sir.
Here in the book of Psalms, chapter 1, the Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight's in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Amen. The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Amen. Glory to God. I'm glad He's here to prosper us. God's going to stand beside us. And I think I've preached a message one time. I'm already staying in step. And I thought as the children of Israel marched around Jericho. And I felt like, you know, sometimes it feels like we're just walking in circles. And it seems like we can't get nothing done. But God can kick the wall down, amen. God can help us out and give us the victory. Amen. And prosper His children in this day. Hallelujah. Amen. Last night, I just want to be honest with you. I don't be honest with you. The past couple of weeks, I'm telling you, God's been hard to find in my life. And I feel like I'm supposed to preach, and I can't find God, and I can't pray, and I don't know what I'm going to do. And I talked to my daddy about it. He said, "Just keep reading, and just keep on praying, and God will show up." Here we are last night. We got in. We got up there in the office. Woo, Lord. They got up there. And about 11:30, God decided to move in. Hallelujah. Help me out up there. Glory to God. Gave me peace about it. In my heart says, "It's going to be all right, son." Hallelujah. It's good when God moves in. God gives you still something. Hallelujah. He's helping me out. Glory to God. He's here to prosper us in His day.
Yes, sir.
Woo.
Right.
I can remember the time. Down through the years, we thought we had a lot of different problems. My dad's pastored the church there for 13 years. And just now it's gotten to the point to where, you know, everything's going pretty good. And people have more or less have grown a little bit in God. And we've gotten rid of a lot of the people that wanted to cause the problems. And that's the way it is. It's a building process. But down through the years, we've had some people that really tried to undermine our church. They did. Every church, if you got any backbone, that's going to happen. And I've seen quite a few people come and go. And I've seen the numbers. We got up to where we were running 130 on Sunday. Man, we thought we was doing good. Man, we thought, man, everything's a putting right along. We running so many people. The offerings were up. We thought, man, it's doing awful good. And then the church split. We run 50 on Sunday morning. I'm glad we run that 50. I want to say that. It's been good to my heart. See, we look at the prosperity in numbers. I know I'm bad to look at it. Not so much in the church sense, but if when it deals with my pocketbook, I deal, I think of numbers. You know, it's got to be big. If it ain't big, it ain't working. That's what I'm, that's what I'm thinking. God doesn't operate that way. Amen. God, gives you just enough. He said He'd supply your needs. He didn't say He'd give you everything you wanted.
Right.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you, if a 19-year-old boy, that's pretty hard to take. Amen. It is. I got my, supposedly, the way people think, I got my whole life ahead of me. I'm trying to build something for the future. Some things I wanted, God just said no. Some opportunities that I was about to walk through, God slammed the door shut. And then He opened one I didn't want to go through. Hey, man. That's right. Have you ever had to walk through a door you didn't want to walk through? That's right. God's helped me out. Sometimes I feel like in my heart, such a failure.
That's
right. Try to find God and end up having a wrong attitude. And seems like I get my heart set on some things. And God just slams the door and says, no, you're not going that way. But God's here to prosper us. I want to say, if you want to prosper, you can pray. I want to say that people know how to pray. That's prosperity. I want to go on and say, some people in our church, some men in our church, I love to hear pray. Seems like God comes down and sits on their shoulders. That's prosperity. Amen. If you can sing in the Holy Ghost, God move in, that's prosperity. Amen. If you can walk through the back doors with joy in your soul. Amen. We've had some times in church, I'm going to tell you, sometimes I don't feel like going. Might surprise you, but I don't. Sometimes I don't feel like going. But I'm telling you, and God's helped me, but it's good to walk through the back doors with joy in your soul. Amen? Go ahead and let them know there's an older fella. He's gone on to be with God. He had a speech impediment. He's about 83, I think, or something like that. He's in the early 80s when he passed on. But I want to tell you, that man had the joy every time he walked into the church. It was a privilege just to go to church with him. Amen? It didn't matter what happened. It didn't matter what kind of day he had. He walked back through the back doors, and he was just about to bubble over. Amen? I want to say, if you want to bubble over, that's prosperity. If you can get to where you can do that, if you can get that place with God and be obedient unto God. Amen? That's a way to have prosperity in the Christian life. God views us as prosperity differently than the world views it. And I want to say that's the way it's supposed to be. Amen. God doesn't want to be any part of the world. He don't want His people looking like the world. He don't want His people progressing like the world. He wants different people. He wants a separated people. And He wants you to be just what He wants you to be. Nothing more and nothing less. Amen. God's keeping the cats off to prosper His children. God's helped us down through the years. I've been so blessed to be in the house of God that all my life. And I want to say that God helped me. God's helped me when I couldn't help myself. When I didn't even think I needed help, God's helped me. Amen. I want to say, if you got a family and they're here in church, that's progress. Amen. We got some people down our way. And this one mother that comes to my mind, and she's been praying and begging God to save her family. Her husband, he don't want nothing to do with church. He hates preachers. He don't want nothing to do with it. She always comes. He gives her grief about it. Really does. She's got two daughters, and both of them have run off, and one of them, she don't look like she's going to come back. I want to say God can help that. But if you've got a family that's in church, hey man, that you can have fellowship with, that's prosperity in this day. Hey man, tried. Just having an open heart toward God. I feel like that God wants to protect His children. God will keep the cats off. You'll obey Him. You'll go with God no matter what. You'll just be exactly what God wants you to be. You'll pray like Daniel did, hey man. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day. If we prayed 3 times a day, our life would change for the most part. I mean, if we seriously got down and prayed, amen, we pray over our food, but I'm talking about just getting along with God and praying, ringing the prayer bells of heaven, God sweeping in on your soul and helping you. Let's be steadfast, unmovable, amen, always abounding the work of the Lord. God will keep the cats off. Preach it out there.
God's people saying.